You have your Bibles this morning, we want you to turn with us to the book of John, chapter number 10. That's where we're going to begin this morning. We will be turning to a number of verses this morning. The book of John, chapter number 10. The very first verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. Can you just imagine? Over there in the Mediterranean, where all the shepherds had come together and they allowed their flocks to come together to mingle, and then every shepherd would call his own sheep, and they would not follow a stranger, but would follow their very own shepherd out of that sheepfold. Very interesting, their ability to hear. You see, our Savior, our shepherd, had a voice like no other. Amen. I am not following the stranger. I'm following the shepherd. Amen. Look with me in verse 27 of this same chapter. Jesus, the great shepherd, says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You talk about the eternal security that we have in our shepherd. Amen. This morning, the Lord wants me to preach on this thought. I have decided to follow Jesus. Father, I pray now that you would help us as we enter into a time of preaching, that you would fill us with the Holy Ghost. And you would help us, Lord, to speak as a dying man to a dying people. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning that we would be attentive to the Spirit of God as he speaks to each individual heart. Lord, that we would be challenged and we would arise to meet the challenge. Grow us, mature us in the faith, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. I say thanks be unto God for the night that Jesus knocked on my heart's door and I came to an old-fashioned altar and called on the name of Jesus and he saved me there. I heard his voice speaking, calling to me about my condition, and now I'm on my way to heaven and I have that eternal life that no man can take away. I can't even take it away myself, amen. The Father has control of my life and it's all in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that you and I can follow Jesus. Now, Simon Peter began to think that there was something about this following that he ought to be blessed with. And I want to turn back to the book of Mark, chapter number 10, at some of my favorite verses in all the Scripture. Now, there's a promise here that God showed me years ago, and I appreciate these verses. And I want to look at Matthew 10, 28. And Simon Peter was talking about the privilege of following Jesus, but he began to get some things wrong. Let's look at it. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Peter thought there was some special privilege coming his way because he left all. Jesus answered and said, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren, sisters and mothers, and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last, first. Again, Simon Peter's words, Master,
Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. The word follow is a very familiar word in the vocabulary of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It literally means to come after one. It is to move behind one and to follow them, to walk behind them in the same direction. It is to accept someone as a leader. Now, I want you to listen to this. Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's Matthew 4:19. Jesus said to James and John, he said, come after me. And the Bible says that they forsook all and followed him. Jesus said to Philip in the book of John chapter 1, follow me. Jesus said to Matthew in the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse number 9, follow me. Over and over again in the Word of God, the term, the word follow comes up. On another occasion, Jesus said to each and every one of us, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We've got to learn to be a follower of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a young girl who was applying for college, and she sent in her college application. And as she's filling it out, ready to send it in, it was asked a question, are you a leader? Yes or no? And she was just going to be honest. She said, no, I'm not a leader. She checked that box and sent it in. And she waited and waited to hear back from her college application. And finally she got a letter that says, dear ma'am, we have accepted you into our college based on the fact of your grades, based on the fact of your honesty. For we have had 1,452 leaders and no one to follow. So surely we'll have one person willing to follow someone. Say amen. Seems like everybody wants to be the leader, but nobody wants to be a follower. Amen. So number one, when I look at this text that Peter's speaking about, what is the purpose of our following? What is the purpose of our following? I believe Simon Peter had the purpose mixed up. He thought it was for what he could get out of it. Let me tell you something. He was looking for Jesus to be the coming powerful one that would overthrow the government of Rome and would lift him up into some powerful position. Simon Peter was following Jesus for all the wrong reasons. And there are a lot of people that are putting on the name of religion, and it's for all the wrong reasons. And you know that I'm telling you right. What is our purpose for following Jesus? Jesus gives it right here. He says, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake. The word sake literally means on the account of or because of. When we begin to follow him, we're following him. Why? Because he saved us. That's why we follow Jesus. Because this world had its own course and was on its way to hell. And when Jesus spoke to us, he spoke words of eternal life. And he saved our soul, changed our lives, and we began to follow him. For he is a deserving leader. Following him is an expression of our gratitude. Following him means that he has done, is an expression of what he has done for us. What has he done for us? He died on the cross. He shed his blood. He gave his life and was buried that you and I might live. But on that first day of the week, he got up victorious over death. He got up victorious over hell. He got up victorious over the grave. I want to say to you, if you were burnt, if you were pulled out of a burning building and somebody saved your life, it's only temporary. I mean, a heart attack's going to get you, or a car wreck's going to get you. Something terrible is probably going to get you, right? A cancer, a stroke's probably going to get you. But here's the thing. If Jesus saves you, when death comes, you take your last breath here, you take your first breath in glory. Amen? And we'll always be with him. So what he's done for me is a motivator in my life for me to follow him. Hallelujah. Because nobody in this world ever did, ever could, or ever will give their life for me, amen, that I might be redeemed forever beside Jesus. He's the only one. You can follow any religious leader you want to. You can follow Muhammad. You can follow Confucius. You can follow Buddha. I don't care who you want to follow, but I can take you to a grave and their body is in it. Some people say, I'm going to follow Moses because of the law. I'm telling you what, God was the one who buried Moses. Only Jesus is alive and well. Why? Because the purpose of our following is because of the grace that he sent our direction. It's to show our gratitude. Hey, isn't it amazing? Doesn't it irk you just a little bit when here we are in the United States and then there's a need in a foreign country and we send all this aid over there to them and they have no appreciation for it? In 1923, there was a great earthquake in Japan, and it wiped out 3/4 of the city of Tokyo, burned it to the ground. It killed 300,000 people. The city of Yokohama was completely destroyed. It left 2.5 million people homeless. But in jumped America. We sent them food, clothes, medical supplies. $10 million were collected from the peoples of the United States, and we sent our money overseas. And then Japanese, in gratitude, this is what they said. They said, we will never forget what America has done for us. But the Japanese did forget. Because on December 7th, 1941, Japanese airplanes pounded Pearl Harbor to pieces. In 18 short years, they had forgotten what we had done for them. Now I'm going to say something to you. Jesus has done something for you that you should never, ever get over. That you should never, ever forget. And every time you hear about aid going out or help going out, and then that same country will turn around and bite the hand that has fed it, never forget that you and I are almost the same way, and that the Lord's done everything for us. What do we do for Him? The best thing I'll ever do is follow Jesus for everything that He has done for me. Not only does He say for my sake, but He also says, and for the gospel's. What is the gospel? I gave you the gospel message. That He died for our sins, that He was buried, and that He rose again for the gospel's. You know why I should follow Jesus? Not just because of the grace He's shown me or because of the gratitude that I need to return to Him, but I need to follow Him because of the gospel's sake. Do you know there are people that are lost that are my friends? And they need to see me following Jesus. If they'd see me following Jesus and see how God is blessed, my friend, they'd be persuaded they can follow Jesus too. Have you got anybody that's lost? Have you got anybody that needs to be saved? Well, how is your following Jesus? How is your following in Jesus? Are you faithful? Are you continuous? Are you steady? Or are you just hit and miss? Boy, it's not a good testimony to those that are not saved if you're just hit and miss with your own testimony as you say you're going to follow Jesus because there are lost men and women, because there are lost young people all across our communities. I'm going to keep following Jesus. I've decided that I'm going to follow Jesus. There's a purpose in following Jesus. Second of all, there's a price in following Jesus. When Jesus spoke of following Him, look what He said. There is no man that hath left. To leave, the word left means to leave. It is to send forth or to send away. It is basically meaning I'm going to let this go from myself. What might it cost me, Preacher Darren, if I'm going to follow Jesus? Well, there's possessions. He mentions houses and lands. Some of you, if God said, I need you to give up thy house, I need you to move to such and such area, I'm sending you there to be a help to them and an inspiration to them. Would you leave your house behind? Would you sell your land for His sake? Now, wait a minute, Preacher Darren. It's been in my family a long time, and I've had a 30-year mortgage, and I've worked on my job 30 years, and I've just retired, and I just paid my last payment on my house, and I'm certainly not going to give that up for Jesus' sake. Boy, that sure says a lot about your following, doesn't it? You need to be willing to leave your possessions behind. I'll tell you what, some of you are going to be raptured feet first. What do you mean? You're still going to be holding the keys to your house. Oh, probably got them stuck in the door lock. They, some of you, you just paid your car off. Oh, I got to drive that new car. Boy, you'll be holding on to that new car when the rapture comes and the trumpet is blown. You'll be holding on to the steering wheel. Not yet, not yet. I want to drive it a little longer. Hey, we've got to be willing to let our possessions go. Now, Jesus is not saying there's anything wrong with having possessions. It's just that you can't put possessions in this life ahead of following Him. Possessions, what about people? And look what He says. He speaks about leaving your brethren or leaving your sisters, leaving your father, leaving your mother, leaving your wife. He speaks about leaving your children. I've seen missionaries that had to go across the seas and they had to leave their family for a short time. And boy, it was a hardship and a sacrifice. Hey, some of you said, boy, well, glory to God, I'd like to get away from my family. That wouldn't be a bit of a problem. I'm looking for a good excuse, preacher. Maybe I can follow Jesus. You'd be following Him for the wrong reason. I'm talking about hardships to say goodbye. Let me tell you something. When I got saved and I began to follow Jesus, there was a crowd that I ran with that I didn't run with anymore. I said goodbye to some of my family. They won't talk to me. I said goodbye to many of my friends. I try to be a witness to them as I follow Jesus, but they won't follow Him, and I'm not going to let them pull me out. Hey, though none will follow, I'm going to keep following Jesus. I've decided I'm not going to turn back. I'm going to keep following Jesus. Hey, have you made a decision? I'm going to let the world go and I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to leave my friends, my family. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to follow Jesus. You realize that James and John were on that fishing boat with their daddy. Amen. And when the Lord came by and said, follow me, they left their nets and their daddy behind and went to follow Jesus Christ. I want to say to you, friend, we need to leave possessions. We need to be willing to leave people to follow Jesus. Boy, it's one of the hardest things I ever did years ago. Resign a good church. God said, I want you to move to Spruce Pine, North Carolina. I want you to sell your big old corporate house, and I want you to move over to Spruce Pine. Well, I'll tell you what, I didn't make no sense out of that. The church was going good. There was no reason to leave. We had good fellowship. Boy, we was having souls saved. God was blessing. But God said, if you don't do this, you're not trusting me. I had to leave my possessions. I had to leave my friends, my people. And I had to let them see me as their pastor say, I'm going to follow Jesus. Listen this morning, don't get scared. I'm not standing up here because I'm saying to you that I'm getting ready to leave this morning and go somewhere else. Don't have a party over that either, amen. I just want to tell you, there's times in our life that we have to say, I've decided to follow Jesus. We've decided to follow Jesus in the pursuit of our school that God has blessed us with. Amen. Some people probably don't understand it, but Jesus said, it's what I want, and we're going to follow Him. Hey, some of you may say, Preacher Darren, what about our missions program? What about our internet ministry, our radio ministry? Hey, I want to say something to you this morning. We have decided to follow Jesus. And if others won't go with us, amen, we're going to keep walking and we're going to keep following our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is a price of following Jesus. And I want to say this as I move on. The depths of your commitment, Brother Remington, the depths of your devotion will always be measured by your willingness to faithfully follow Jesus, no matter what. That is commitment and that is trust. And our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thirdly, and I'm done, what is the promise in following Jesus, in leaving these things behind? Jesus said, He shall receive 100-fold. There's been a lot of people give up things that are near to them, things that are dear to them. Oh, but what is the promise? Boy, I've claimed this promise. When I let some things go in my life, I look to someone who's an investment, who understands about investments. Brother Bing, if I came and said I want to give you a dollar and I'm looking for 100 in return, there's not anything out there that's going to give me that kind of return. I might hope to get $2 from somebody, but it'd take a long time to get a return of 100%. But you see what Jesus said? I'm going to give you 100-fold. Compute that in your brain. When's that going to happen? Now, there's an earthly reward. Look. He shall receive 100-fold now in this time. What's he going to get? He's going to get houses. Now look back at verse 29. In verse 29, you gave up one house. In verse 30, he gave you plural houses. Amen. Read with me. He says he's going to give you brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. Do you see that? He's going to bless you. Didn't say he was going to get a new father. We've already got a heavenly father. We don't need a new one. Amen. And the Bible says that now in this time, he'll give you a hundredfold. I remember when I moved here to Spruce Pine. Man, I gave up everything. I wept much. I cried over the church I left. I loved those folks so dearly. It beat all I ever seen in my life. My heart was completely broken. And I want you to know that after I came here, God saved 100 souls. Whoopee. You may say, I doubt it. I don't like it. I don't care. God's in the one. God's the one doing the counting. Amen. He's the one doing the measuring. And let me go just a little bit further with this statement. Amen. He says that there'll be persecutions. There are going to be people not going to like it. Why? Because God loved you and he's blessed you. And they're going to tell you, you can't do that. I'd never do what you're doing. I'd never forsake everything to follow Jesus. Can't you just follow a little bit while holding on to the world? Let me tell you what, let them persecute. Let them talk about. But I'm telling you what, there's no turning back. You just follow Jesus. There's earthly rewards, 100-fold. And then there's eternal rewards. Look, he says, the Bible says, and in the world to come, eternal life. That's eternal rewards. You know, some of my eternal rewards, I kind of get them even though I'm on earth. You may say, preacher, I doubt it. When I moved here, y'all have become my family. We're going to heaven together. And I'm getting to enjoy some of it right now with you dear people, amen. Woo! There's been people in my life that God's brought in to be a mother to me. I think about Granny Louise. She's not just been a grandmother, but she's been a mother to me, amen. God's given me some mothers and some brothers and some sisters. You have become my family. And now that we follow Jesus together, whew, hallelujah, as we follow Jesus together, we're on our way to glory land. And when we get there, you think about getting to see Miss Judy, who never walked here, but who's running there. Amen. You get to see the mute man who is not able to speak a word of praise here, but is shouting on the hilltops of glory there. There is, amen, a promise to us who follow Jesus. I'll ask you this question this morning, I'll be done. Are you following Jesus? I mean, with your every step, with your every commitment. In the 1800s, there was a man and his family that lived in India, and they were converted to faith in Jesus Christ by a Welsh missionary. Months later, the village chief gathered this man and arrested him and his family and said to him, "You renounce your faith in Jesus Christ." And this is what the man said. This is where the song comes from. He said, "I have decided to follow Jesus." They took his wife and they executed her and took his family and executed him. And this is what he said. He said, "The cross before me, the world behind me. I have decided to follow Jesus." And they put that man to death. You know what happened in the village? The village chief felt under conviction, had never seen anyone with such commitment to anything, and he gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. And he got saved as well. Many in that village got saved. I say hallelujah this morning. What a display of faith. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. A new verse. Will you go with me to follow Jesus? Will you go with me to follow Jesus? Will you go with me to follow Jesus? No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Would you come? I have decided to follow Jesus. You mind him this morning? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Will you go with me? Come on, to follow Jesus. Will you go with me to follow Jesus? Will you go with me to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Father, I thank you for the good move of God this morning. Altars are full down the aisles. Folks are bowing and folks are standing and praising the Lord. God, I ask this morning, Lord, you would forgive us of our old selfish ways like Simon Peter, saying, Lord, we've left all to follow thee. Jesus has warned us about the very purpose. He's told us the very purpose in following you is for your sake and for the sake of the gospel. And he told us, yes, there is a price in following Jesus. It will cost us something. But Lord, the promise far outweighs the price. Ooh, hallelujah to God. I pray, Lord, you'd help us, Father, that we would ever be true to our commitment and our devotion and our faithfulness to follow Jesus. Help us, God, that we as a people are faithful to follow Jesus.